This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm Greg Chatton, and welcome to the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Jurisdiction Subgroup Meeting Number 37 here on July 10th, 2017 at 1900 UTC. You should have the agenda in front of you. We'll briefly review it. After a minute on administration, we'll spend a couple of minutes and just review the decisions from our last call, and as well briefly review the decisions made in the, or at least confirmed in the plenary as well. Then we have a document to review, which is the invitation to questionnaire respondents to make a presentation or at least come on a call with the subgroup. Then we'll be turning to what I expect to be one of our main tasks in coming weeks, the list of proposed issues. Then we have a review of where we stand on the questionnaire responses, and we'll wind up with a review of ICANN litigation, including two cases that Paul Rosenzweig has summarized, assuming that Paul is on the call. We will learn about the two register fly cases. In any case, and we'll end up with AOB after the ICANN litigation. Is there anything at this time, comments on the agenda before we actually get to the meat of the meeting? I don't see any hands. And just a warning that I am doing this on a tablet, which does not put hands in the order in which they are raised. So I'll do my best, but ask for staff to keep an eye as well. First, I'll ask if there are any changes to statements of interest. Hearing none. We'll move on. We'll see if we have any audio-only participants. Those who are not in Adobe Connect, please identify yourselves. It appears we have no audio-only participants. I see one phone number that needs identification, ending in 1446. Who is at that number?
Oh, hi, Greg. I think that's me. This is Brian Sir Elliott. I guess my number is not associated with my name. I need to hit a PIN number, don't I, to do that?
You can go into the pod and change your name to your number. All the users are in there. And now we have another audio-only participant that just came in at number 5316, area code 703-518-5316.
Yeah, Greg, that's Phil Corwin. That's nice.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
Sure.
Okay, and it looks like you've magically been converted into a name, so that's good. Well, that takes care of the administration moments. Now on to item four, just a review of the decision and action items from the last call. Strictly speaking, we had no decisions on our last call. Confirmed that there were not sufficient objections to the decision of the co-chairs. Such that we allow that decision to go to the plenary at the ICANN 59 face-to-face, as many of you know. The plenary at ICANN 59 discussed the decision that the subgroup will not pursue recommendations to change ICANN's jurisdiction of incorporation or headquarters location. It should be noted that this decision does not create a limitation on the range of issues that the subgroup can discuss. That doesn't mean our issues are unlimited, but it does mean that this decision does not limit those issues. Following the plenary, or as a result of the plenary discussion, this part of the decision stood. However, it was determined that the subgroup could consider remedies that include forms of partial, limited, relative immunity, sometimes also maybe called waivers or licenses, in response to specific issues recognized by the subgroup. So that is sets the stage for where we stand and where we're going. There was one action item, request that the subgroup members populate the list of proposed issues, whether there was issues that you yourself have brought up or that you have summarized in a litigation or questionnaire response that you've reviewed or a questionnaire response you've submitted. We've had a few people do that so far, but hopefully we will have a number more. I will endeavor to fill the gaps, but I hope that there is a lot of other people filling the gaps as well. That provides a good segue. We're going to talk about that as item six, and we'll go into the discussion of how this list of proposed issues will work. And I emphasize that these are proposed issues. They're not accepted or recognized yet as actual issues. That's part of our work. But first, before we get to that in earnest, if staff could put up on the in the Adobe Connect room the draft email invitation to questionnaire respondents, we just take a brief look at that. Okay, here we have it. No need for me to read it out loud. First draft of this was prepared by staff, and I reviewed and revised it somewhat. And so this draft is now in front of you. I'd like to see if there are any comments or questions. I think it's fairly straightforward. I see a hand from Caboose. Caboose, please go ahead.
Caboose, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you at this time.
Do you hear me, please?
Hello? We hear you now.
Yes, we do now.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Ben, and thank you, Jack. We face similar type of letter in Jack. We didn't know to whom this letter are addressed. We have to know who are the addressee of these letters, letter or message or whatever. First of all, the way of communication, it would be an email, it would be an announcement, it would be a letter, it would be what and to whom is addressed. That is addressed to those people who have commented to the questionnaire or what. So we have to be clear at the beginning of this that when you say the address of this letter. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. This will be sent as an email to the respondents separately, to each respondent to the questionnaire. So it will be addressed to the email address from which their questionnaire response came, unless there's some reason to believe that there's a different email address to contact them at. So that is the method by which this will be sent out. and I can certainly CC the list so that everyone sees that they are going out as well. So that we can be transparent about that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kavutz. Any other comments or questions on this email note? Is there anyone opposed to sending this out, and which I will do this week, assuming that there is not significant opposition to doing so? Seeing no opposition, I think we can take it as a decision that this email will be sent out individually to each respondent and CC'd to the list, and we will see what responses we get in return. I'll work with staff to fill in the yellow blanks, and we'll get this out as soon as possible. I think this moves us on now to item six, which is our spreadsheet of proposed issues. Everyone has been champing at the bit to discuss issues, and now is the time we get to do so. Although in this call, I think we'll talk a bit more about the process of dealing with the list and not dive headlong into any of the issues, because I think people will want some advance warning as to which issues are coming up on which calls. But in any case, you have in front of you the list, at least as of about 12 hours ago. It's conceivable that there have been other additions to this. I did not recapture the document since then. But if we can perhaps enlarge so that we can see it's really the left-hand columns, left-hand six columns that are really relevant at this point in time. Of course, you can also go to the Google Doc, to which you should all have received a link. I'm checking the Google Doc, and there have been no new contributions since last night. So we have the first contribution has been titled Governing Law for Registry Agreements and is described in somewhat in more depth. The first sentence was contributed by Raphael. The second sentence was contributed by me. We really need to describe the issues concretely and specifically in this chart. This is not merely a checklist. This is really where the substance, at least in summary, needs to live. Obviously, we can't put entire comments in here or discussion threads, but the document really needs to be relatively self-sufficient in terms of how it expresses the proposed issues. And the issues that are on here are basically the raw issues that are proposed by members of the group or through the questionnaire responses or otherwise, trying, the judgment as to whether they are issues or whether they need to be edited is something that will come through our discussion. I see a hand from Paul Rosenzweig. Paul, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you guys hear me?
I hear you, yes.
Oh, good. I see I'm getting captioned, so I guess you can. I was just going to suggest one addition to the form, Greg. which is to say, we've gone through an extended exercise. We're still going through it for litigation summaries. If an issue proposer could link the issue to any litigation that might have raised that issue so that we could establish a cross-reference, if one exists, that doesn't mean that they have to exist. It doesn't mean that issues are limited to things that were in litigation. But if they were, it would be a helpful additional column for me.
Thanks, Paul. I had intended the column sources for proposed issue with links to embrace that concept. Maybe that's not clear enough. I can either add something to the caption so that make it clear that it includes both, you know, questionnaires, comments, underlying documents, litigations, et cetera. So we'll certainly make sure that it's clear. I'm a little wary of adding additional columns only because the document is kind of wide as it is, and expect that that the source column should provide that that opportunity. But I'll definitely make it clear, since clearly, you know, it's not clear to somebody who is both a native English speaker and a reasonably deductive person, and it was not deduced by you, Paul. So it's always good to have extra eyes on these sorts of things. Make sure that we're communicating what we intend to communicate. So again, I try to add in the column and description a statement of why this was an issue. It is certainly a fact that there is currently no governing law in the base registry agreement, but that's not necessarily an issue. It's not necessarily even a proposed issue. So this is what I've added. I have no pride of authorship here. Others can add to this and change it as well to try to generate a description of why this is an issue. David McCauley, I see your hand is up.
Greg, hi. David McCauley here. For the record, thanks very much. First off, I have a question for you, and that is, are we supposed to be commenting now on the specific issue or simply on format issues?
At this time, really more on format. We do need, as I said, I think to give some, you know, advance warning so people know what's coming up. Also allow for some discussion on the list prior to. But you know, if there's something that's both a format issue and a substance issue, you could bring it up.
I'm sorry.
Take the time to have the full discussion of any one of these issues. Yes.
Okay, so I had a substantive comment, and I'll just bring it to the list. To be honest with you, I'm just now getting into this list, so my apologies. So I'll pull my hand down. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, David. So just going left to right on the column, see if this was submitted by Raphael Beauregard-Lacroix. He's put in a date of April 18th, which I guess maybe was when this issue was first surfaced in the group. We don't have a source for this issue, but we should have a link at least to the base registry agreement. And if there are any places where this issue has been brought up, they should either be cross-referenced here, or if there's discussions that can be summarized and brought into the description column, they should be brought in. As noted, and I'll note it more than once, this is a list of proposed issues. We need to decide whether these issues are in fact issues and whether they're issues that are within our remit. So the next two columns ask for reasons this is within our remit, and reasons this is outside our remit. I expect that some people in a display of balance may try to fill in both sides based on conversations we've had. On the other hand, there may be those who believe a particular issue is not in our remit, and they, of course, should feel free to fill in that column as well. This is intended to be a collaborative document, but it's also intended to try to deliver, to develop these proposed issues as best as possible, give them, in a sense, the best shot to be considered as issues. Next two columns are our support and opposition to this as an accepted issue. So this can be used to list who is supporting this, and as well arguments for it. Lastly, a decision as to whether we've accepted this proposed issue as an actual issue, or have rejected it and decided this is not an issue. Either it's not an issue within our remit, or for whatever reason it's not an issue at all. And that's a decision. Once we have that decision done, this will go on another chart of actual issues for which we'll then make, hopefully make recommendations as to remedies. Caboose, I see your hand is up. Caboose, please go ahead.
Yes, I have a few small comments. One, I understand that this list is non-exhaustive. People could add new item for that. Second, the description given by others may be commented. Therefore, there would be room for some comments on the language used in the description. And thirdly, and most importantly, I sincerely request you and beg you, kindly do not open that issue XYZ are or are not within our limit. We do not wish to have the same discussions for questions, in particular for question 4 that we discussed 4 weeks, whether we have question 4 or do not have question 4, and we have spent another 3 to 4 weeks of the language out. So please kindly help us not to go to that diversion that we have to decide whether they are or are not within our limits. For many of you, maybe OFAC is not an important issue. So if the people start to joke and saying that it is not ours within our limit, then we'll be disappointed and we want to close this work stream to accountability jurisdiction. So we don't want division. Please kindly try to connect us together, but not to divide. I do not want that we decide and go. I know I don't want to name any people, but I have a list of 10 people they are opposing to any discussion on this issue. Because they don't want anything. They want to say, let's go. We ask them respectfully, please assist others and understand others to resolve their problems. So we don't want this division. Please, as a master of this group or as the convener or as rapporteur or whatever, try to provide or push whatever or encourage us to consensus, but not saying that is or is not within our limit. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. First, to note that there are no issues that were taken off the table by the decision not to deal with changing ICANN's place of incorporation or headquarters location. However, this group was not set up to deal with every issue that people propose to have it deal with. It does. We do have a remit. We do have a mandate, which is not boundless. I do agree that whether an issue is important to one party or another is not a relevant test of whether an issue is within our remit or not. So would ask people to put themselves in other people's shoes when considering whether something is important. But again, if it's an issue that you face or don't face, that's not has nothing to do with whether it fits within the mandate of this subgroup or the mandate of the CCWG. However, we will have to deal with some proposed issues that are not issues that we should that we were tasked with dealing with. It's inevitable, I think, that unless there's a lot of self-selectivity, that we're going to hear some issues that proposed issues that will not make the cut because they are out of bounds for us. But I don't expect that that will be because they are dealing with one or other layer of jurisdiction. All the layers of jurisdiction are up for discussion as to whether they generate issues. I see a couple of comments in the chat with regard to deadlines. I would encourage first, while there should be no formal deadline to close the list of proposed issues at this point, eventually there will need to be because we will need to be moving on in our work. What I would like to ask is within the next 2 weeks, if there are existing issues that have been brought up by members of the subgroup or in questionnaires or litigations that were reviewed by members of the subgroup, if you could, in the first instance, take responsibility for bringing your own issue to the list, take responsibility for bringing an issue in a questionnaire that you, a response that you either submitted or summarized for the group and put those issues on this list. If you reviewed a litigation and the litigation raised issues, please take it as part of your responsibility to put the issue on the list. As I said before, I will try to back and fill and put in issues that people are not putting on the list, but ultimately it is the job of all of us to put things on the list that we surfaced in the first place, either because they're issues we wish to raise or issues that we helped to raise by putting in a analyzing a questionnaire response or analyzing a litigation. That way we spread the work across many people. I have a day job, which has nothing to do with this subgroup, and therefore spending huge amounts of time on raking through everything we've ever done to look for issues is not something I can credibly do too much of. I'm sure I will do too much of it, but I can't do too much. Tiago, your hand is up, please.
Thank you. This is Tiago speaking. So I'm not sure whether we have moved from 0.61 to 0.62, because my comments are related to the general process, of how we're going to fill the list of proposed issues, and also the general process about how we're going to decide which issues to retain or not. But if you allow me, I'm going to just explain what my thoughts are briefly on those two aspects. So in relation to how we should be filling the list of proposed issues, I wonder why should this task not be open to the wider community, similar to what happened to the questionnaire. In fact, the questionnaire, to my understanding, was an attempt to reach out to the public outside the subgroup. And the questionnaire was also aimed at identifying issues, and supposedly certain issues were identified. So it seems reasonable to me that people who responded to the questionnaire who are not part of this working group should also be given an opportunity to fill the list and make their issues that they consider relevant appear in that list. As Greg said himself, at this point in time, this list is being populated, and the fact that an issue appears in the list doesn't mean that it will be eventually retained and that we were going to examine it in depth. So I think we should not limit the task of filling the proposed list to the members of the group. The second remark that I'd like to make relates to the process of how we're going to decide whether or not to retain the issue. I'm not sure whether this is the time to go about it. What do you think, Greg?
Well, if that's the end of your first issue, maybe what I can do is see if there are any other thoughts on that concept. Positive or negative. I'm not sure how we would open it up to the general public. And again, that really kind of goes somewhat against the general working method of working groups, other than, you know, taking in a controlled way, bringing in issues, which is what our questionnaire did. You know, if we want, we can ask those questionnaire those who are responded with questionnaire to the questionnaire who are not members of the group could review their line, so to speak. But ultimately, it's up to us to decide how to look at that issue. The issues are not ultimately going to be owned by those who submitted them. We have to decide what the issues are rather than just make a list of pleadings, so to speak. So I see one note that I understand it was meant the entire CCWG, but not the public as such. I suppose that's possible. I still would encourage everyone in the group to do the work. And if there are others, we could bring them in. David, I see you have a hand up. I assume it's in response to this. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. Excuse me. David McCauley again for the record. To respond to this and to Caboose's question to me, yes. And with respect, I would oppose what Thiago's suggesting. We did go out, and I'm pretty much in line with what you just said, Greg. We went out with a questionnaire. That's done. I look at the issues document as a working document for this subgroup, and I also have an eye on the clock, too. We have to get the group wrapped up by the end of this fiscal year. So I'm definitely opposed to the idea of asking either the CCWG or the public to weigh in on the issues list. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Any support for this proposition?
May I clarify a point, please, Greg?
Go ahead, Thiago.
Thank you. So my difficulty with not opening this to the public as it was done with the questionnaire is it seems to me we are creating supplementary layers, supplementary barriers to identify issues. We're not here again discussing whether the issue is going to be one that might deserve a remedy that the group consider later. You said it yourself. At this point, the list is for consideration, and then the group, according to a different step, a process, will decide whether or not to retain the issues. So if, as can be argued, if it can possibly be contended, that the public was given an opportunity to identify issues, right, and they've done so when they answered the questionnaire. If that's true, so perhaps every issue that was identifying the questionnaire should be in this new list, and this task should not be upon any member of the group, but perhaps the staff could help us with this. I think others have suggested this, and I would encourage it to happen again. On a second note, about the deadline, it was said, I think, by David, that if we open it to the great public, we're not going to meet the deadlines because new issues are going to appear, right? But my comment is nothing prevents us from doing our work, from examining and discussing the issues as they are in the list, and eventually if new issues appear, and I don't think that many issues are going to appear, and then we're going to discuss them. The fact that people could eventually populate the list as we do our work will not stop us from doing the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I'm not really seeing, I'm seeing some opposition and no support for the idea of opening it up generally, other than from yourself. Clearly, if members of this group want to go and find more issues to bring to the table, they're happy to do so. But I think we've been open for a very long time now to receiving issues, and we really need to put the work into the working group. And asking staff to do the work kind of delays the title working group. We really should be doing the work. I'll see if staff has the bandwidth to review certain documents or materials and bring stuff in. But by and large, I think given that we have 70 members, active members of this group, and you were committed when you joined this group, to putting in 3 to 5 hours a week in working on this group, I don't think it's outside the realm of what's been requested, that the group itself do the work of the working group and not try to lay it off on anybody else. I don't think that there's any other working group or subgroup that is, generally just taking comments from the plenary on a general basis. I don't think there's a need for us to work any differently than any other subgroup. Obviously, these will be brought to the plenary through the natural process. So that's the time and place where this will happen. And of course, if any other members of the plenary feel like joining this subgroup and working in it, then they can come and join it and work in it. But this is not just a bulletin board for anybody to come in and post an issue and then leave. So I think we've covered that point well enough. Anything else? Just to cover 6 in terms of the general process. So as indicated, we want to get all of the issues that have been raised in this group, whether they were raised 8 months ago or 2 weeks ago, onto this list. It should be as complete as possible, including issues that many people may believe are not issues, but they should be here for discussion. And then we will discuss whether they are, in fact, issues that this group recognizes as issues and recognizes as issues within our remit. And then we'll go on to discussing recommendations and remedies, potential remedies for those issues. So I think that pretty much covers what's going on here. Again, we do want detail in the description, not just a line or two. So I took some more detail from other parts of the OFAC section and created some new lines with specific issues that fall under sanctions and OFAC sanctions specifically. As you'll see down on the kind of 4th, 5th, 6th rows of the column of the chart, there may be other issues that fall under OFAC. It may be that these need to be described more completely, but I took what was put on the list and just tried to reorganize and supplement it a bit. But I think there'll be more to say about those, and I expect that will be one of the key proposed issues that we will have on an upcoming agenda, and which I will make sure to have good advance warning on, since I know that those who are interested in that issue will certainly want to be on that call. So anything else on item 6? If not, well, I see a couple of hands. I don't know if Tavus and Tiago, I don't know if those are new hands or which order they are in.
That's good. I suggest that we show a little bit of flexibility. We should not be worried. I don't think we will be more comments than members of this group. With the members of questionnaire, people thought that we received 1,000 answers, and we just received 21. And the member of the CCWG workers in visualization, some 60 or 70 people, only 22 to maximum 25 attend. So don't worry if it is open to other members of CCWG. Invite them if they want to come in. I am sure that the number of comments will be limited. So let us not waste our time on this, whether we should open or not open, halfway open, fully open, and so on, and go to the business. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago?
I suppose this is the last comment on point six of the agenda, right? And after that, we're going to go to what's point seven. So my comment relates to the way we're going to decide whether to retain an issue. I see that there are different columns in the document, one of which is support, another is opposition, and the final one is decision. The comment that I'd like to leave for the record is the following. Issues will be issues to someone, right? For some reason, a person thinks that something is an issue to them, right? For example, government, they're going to find that something that is of their concern is an issue to them. And that issue might not be an issue to, I suppose, lawyers who litigate cases before U.S. jurisdiction. So that issues are issues always from someone's perspective. I think that we should be very careful not to reject issues. There are indeed issues within the remit of our subgroup because of the mandate that was given to us, simply because there is opposition from certain groups within the subgroup. There was consensus, as I understood it from the face-to-face plenary, that all problems, there are problems, should be tackled, right? And the consensus was not that each and every problem need to have consensus to be considered a problem that needs to be tackled. So with these comments, what I want to highlight is that to reject any issue that is eventually in the list, one should demonstrate that, for example, what a government says is an issue to them is false. That is, that the issue is not really an issue as a matter of fact. One could, as a consequence, not simply reject an issue so identified because there is no consensus within the subgroup that the issue should be retained. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I think you make some good points, which is that we shouldn't be rejecting issues just because they're not issues for one of us. We need to reject, decide issues on a, not on sort of a beauty contest basis or on a selfish, you know, is my ox being gored sort of issue, but rather to see if anybody's ox is being gored, so to speak. So I think people need to think broadly about whether an issue is a legitimate issue or not, and not an issue for them. That said, there will be issues, proposed issues that don't make the cut. And, you know, we'll get to that more concretely. And there will need to be consensus, in the group, what some might call rough consensus, but what our charter calls consensus, in order for a proposed issue to be recognized as an issue. That covers
yes.
That. Phil, I see your hand is up.
Yes, thanks, Greg. I just want to add a quick comment. My understanding is we're just looking at the formatting of this document today and not at the substance of any issue in that in the document. Is that correct?
That's correct, and this is just my first crack at this, so if somebody
right.
has ways to improve it, please let me know.
Okay, well, I just want to reserve for future discussion the fact that I think our ultimate decision is not whether everything listed in this document is an issue, but whether it's an accountability issue, whether it's an issue that in some way interferes with the empowered community or some important part of ICANN holding the organization accountable, because this is, after all, Workstream 2 of the accountability CCWG. So I just want to get that on the record, and we can get into substance at another time. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. That's what I meant to cover by the columns asking whether this is within our remit, because that is our remit. So when we get to discussions of remit, I expect that we will be discussing the fact that we are a subgroup of the accountability working group, and that our mandate, you know, falls within the mandate of that group. So we'll definitely get to that. So that's where that's intended to be raised, and I'm sure it will be. So moving on to item 7, actually what I'd like to do, just briefly on item 7, we have two questionnaire responses that have not yet been summarized by the volunteers. So hopefully those volunteers will come forward. Then there were several short responses that need to be reviewed. I'll take that on, as I did with the very short responses, and bring that back to the list for next week. This is the litigation list, actually. But that's fine. Let's just stick with the litigation list so we can roll through. I want to give Paul a little time. We have 7. If you go to the bottom of page, bottom of the document, last page, you'll see that we have just a handful now of documents that have not yet been adopted for review. And so we made it over the hump. We have several volunteers, perhaps somewhat voluntold, to join in. But I encourage those on this call who have not yet summarized litigation to do so. And so one of our recent volunteers is Paul Rosenzweig, and Paul has two cases, both involving defendant Registerfly. So, Paul, if you could go ahead and talk about these cases.
Sure. Paul Rosenzweig for the record. And I'll be very brief, since neither of these seems directly germane to our overall jurisdiction accountability issue. A Registerfly was a registry that I think it is fair to characterize as a bit of a rogue registry. At the time of this litigation, it was having so much difficulty in maintaining registry data accurately that ICANN was obliged to staff a small customer relations complaint office just to respond to Registerfly purchasers who were complaining about their registrant. The first case here, ICANN Registerfly was brought in the Central District of California, Los Angeles, ICANN's headquarters, and it sought declaratory relief to terminate the registry agreement with Registerfly, and also preliminary injunctive relief to get Registerfly to give ICANN a good copy of all of its registry data so that ICANN could do its best to fix it and move that data off to some other registrar. Jurisdiction was in Los Angeles because that's where ICANN chose to file the claim, because that was what the RAA provided for. There was no choice of law provision in the RAA under consideration. Injunctive relief was sought and received in the form of orders from the court to Registerfly to give over registry data. Registerfly more or less ignored them, and eventually a default judgment was entered against Registerfly. From start to finish, this case took about 4 months. The other companion case, Martinez versus Registerfly, was a lawsuit brought by customers of Registerfly against Registerfly in North Carolina, in which ICANN was named as a defendant along with Registerfly. ICANN went into the court there and said, we don't belong in this lawsuit. We don't have any contracts with RegisterFly's customers. We don't have any corporate activity in North Carolina. And our registry agreement says that this suit has to be brought, if anywhere, in California. The plaintiffs voluntarily dismissed ICANN from the case, so ICANN did challenge jurisdiction there, and the plaintiffs quit before the court got to rule on it. That took about 2 months. So both of these cases demonstrate effective contractual enforcement under existing agreements to the extent that an effective judiciary is relevant to our considerations. They're modest positives for, but by and large, they really have no direct application that I can see to our accountability issues. It would have been if the Martinez plaintiffs had been able to haul ICANN into North Carolina court, then we would have a lot of serious implications, but they gave up without a fight. So it turned out to be not terribly relevant. That's the end of my summary. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Paul.
Sorry, Jeff Newman says it was a registrar, not a registry. Yeah, that's right.
Two other names, registrar and registry, are so close. It just seems to be a trap even for the wary. That's where we're at. Any questions or comments on these cases? As noted, there was an attempt to sue ICANN elsewhere, which in North Carolina, which failed, but wasn't fully litigated. So any other comments on this? That now I see a discussion that perhaps a comment was overlooked. And I see that there was a comment by Christina Monti. But when I go to look at it, it's just a letter from 2012. Is that correct? Anyway, that may be the missing link. I will note that this list has been up for everyone in the group to look at for 2 months, but better late than never for anybody to notice an issue. So any questions on that point? No further questions on the registrar on these cases. We have a couple of cases teed up. Hopefully, we'll have next week, and some more analyses underway. So, given that we have just 3 minutes left, I'd like to encourage everyone to populate the list. That is where the issues or proposed issues are going to live. So if you have an issue, then that should be put on the list. Encourage everyone.
Let me use the 1 minute of those big, Greg.
Yes?
Thank you. This is Jagger speaking again. I'm sorry. Just a brief comment on what we just saw. So there was a comment that was made, right, too bad, no one saw missing on the list, right? And the risk that we will be incurring if the efforts of populating this new list is limited to the group is that issues that for some reason got lost in the past will be not present in the final list. So it will not be as comprehensive as it could be. So, again, I understand there might be opposition to what I'm saying, but at the end, once the list is fully populated, if you will, I don't think it would harm anyone for that list to be put out there open and perhaps a broad invitation for people from the outside to see and review, and eventually if they think that something is missing there, come and add something. Thank you.
Thank you. I think you've made your views well, made the rest of the group well aware of your view on that. I do see the questionnaire attached from the there were multiple attachments to that particular submission by Christina Monti, and that is on our wiki. So nothing's going to get lost. It's just a matter of transfer, which is why we need many people looking at things. Anyway, it is now 3:59. I think we have adjourned. So I will stop this recording and talk to you all next week. Bye, all.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, everyone.